Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. I know it's Friday evening. Today's been a busy day for me, so I apologize with the late podcast, but this is something that you guys can listen to this weekend. The thing is, if you're new to this podcast, again, my name is Keith Pompey. I'm the 76ers beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I'm also the Locked On 76ers host for the Locked On podcast. You can read my stuff in, like I said, in the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can also follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers, on Instagram at Pompey on Sixers. And like I said, you could go to Philadelphia Inquirer and get as much stuff as you want about the Sixers. And the Locked On Network, we're the only podcast, the only network that comes to you 5 days a week. So you know what to do. But today, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about the two Sixers new hires. They hired Pete Dinwiddie, who is going to be Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. Sorry, I had something in my throat, couldn't get that out. And then they have Prosper Karanga in the pot. Oh man, I know I butchered his name. I'm sorry about that, my man. I know I butchered it. But he is going to be the Vice President of Player Personnel. Now, here's the deal. These two guys, you know, Dinwiddie comes from the Indiana Pacers, where he was number three. He was the senior vice president of basketball ops. He's going to be number two behind Elton Brand, right? Karanga is going to be the vice president of player personnel, as I said before, but he's coming from the Orlando Magic, where he was the director of scouting. Now, the thing, we're going to talk about these two guys in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about, you know, the other moves that, you know, where we think the Sixers are going to have to make, you know, this offseason. And then thirdly, we're just going to do a little bit of tidbits like I have been doing, right? So first things first, I think that these hires are great, right? And some can argue, like, it's a little bit of just that they move the furniture. You know, like, okay, who are these guys? You know, what happened? Now, the reason why I think that these hires are great is because the Sixers said they were going to go out there and make some moves, right? And I think before, let's face it, the Sixers relied heavily, heavily, heavily on analytics, right? Dinwiddie, from what I hear and what I've been told, is a really nice, he's a nice guy. He's a cap guy who does salary, right? He's all about all that stuff. He also has a lot of relationships around the league, right? Now, that means a lot. It does, because he's someone that Elton Brand can lean on, right? And then you got Karanga, who is going to be the vice president of player personnel. He has a huge scouting background, right? Now, let's face it. The Sixers had to get a coach. We kept saying that they need to get a coach. Brett Brown was fired. They had to get a coach. They also had to revamp this front office. Now, the thing about Dinwiddie, with Dinwiddie coming on board, the executive vice president of basketball ops means that Alex Rucker was demoted. Now, we said that that was going to happen. I know you guys knew that. If you read the Inquirer, you knew that A, he was either going to be fired, or B, he was going to be demoted. Early on, the expectation in August was he was going to be fired. That was the expectation around the league. Then as months went along, they decided that he would stay on board, but he would be demoted. Well, he's demoted. Sources are saying that it seems like he's going to be in the analytics department. Now, he's going to be more of a information gatherer as opposed of a decision maker. Now, Ned Cohen, who is assistant general manager, he keeps the title as assistant general manager. Now, the thing is, Sergey Oliva, who was the vice president of strategy, you know, basically he was a dead man walking, right? So he's gone. He's gone. You know, for him, he got a position. Luckily for him, he was hired by the Utah Jazz, and he's going to be a coach for them. So he's fine. But when we talk about Cohen, we talk about Oliva, and we talk about Rucker, these were the three guys who relied heavily on analytics, right? They were the three guys who, you know, a lot of people said had a huge hand in the destruction of the team. Now, you know, Brett Brown was fired. He was the coach. You know, it was one of those things where he caught some of the blame. But him, let's face it, Brett Brown and Oliva are the two guys who are gone, right? Rucker was demoted. You know, Cohen's still around. But when you look at it, you look at Dinwiddie, and Dinwiddie does a lot of the same things that Cohen does. You know, so it's one of those things where, okay, he's the assistant general manager, but what is his job title? What is he going to do? Like, what is he going to be in charge of? You know, the thing about the NBA, and I shouldn't say job title, the thing about the NBA is all about your position in the pecking order, right? So they'll have you listed like a general manager, but there's been certain teams where the general manager was third in command. Or there's other teams where the general manager is like the guy. Like Daryl Morey was in Houston. He was the GM, but he was the guy. So, you know, right about now, like, we got to find out what Ned Cohen is going to do. We do know that Rucker is probably, you know, way down there on a totem pole. So, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, that's going to have to be figured out. But I'm just, you know, I'm just like at a loss, not really a loss of words, but hey, I feel good for Elton Brand because he came out and said they were going to do this and they did it. And they made some changes and some strong moves. Now, again, you know, these guys aren't exactly the headhunters. They're not like the top guys, like the presidents of basketball ops that people would have wanted. But at the same time, they did make some moves, you know. They made some moves, and it's some things that, you know, people could feel good about. And I know that a lot of the 76ers faithful, the fan, just by your guys' reactions earlier when I said that it was going to happen, you know, I got a gist that you guys, you know, are excited about the moves that were made. Now, let me tell you something that I'm excited about. I'm excited about my Built Bar. Now, it's my Built Bar, if y'all don't know, I'm like addicted to Built Bar. Built Bar is like a power bar, right? A protein bar. And I have, dang. And I'm thinking about it because I have like an addiction to chocolate, right? I'm addicted to chocolate. So when I eat these things, I usually think of it as this is my chocolate fix for the day. Because they look like a chocolate candy bar. They're so good. Oh, man. It's just ridiculous, right? But I'm telling you, the improved Built Bar is even delicious-er. I know that's not a word, but we're going to make it a word, right? Delicious-er, right? They have 6 new flavors. Caramel brownie. Cookies and cream. Oh my God. Lemon almond cheesecake. Carrot cake. Apple crisp. And cherry barcala. Oh my gosh. Yo. I'm telling y'all. Like, I gotta stop talking about this, right? But see, here's the thing. We're talking about all this other stuff. But did you know that Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy? You know, you can lose or maintain weight by indulging in a delicious-er treat, right? Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for the keto diet. Well, I ain't doing a keto diet, but you know what I mean, right? So let me tell you this, y'all. So when you go to Built Bar, right, it has you can do the promo code and get $10 off your first purchase or make it your next order. Come on. So the promo code is Locked On, LOCKED on, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. So look, y'all, so we talked about the Sixers, the front office moves. I'm really excited about them. I just want to see, like, it's something new, man. It's different. You know, it's new, it's different. Like, because last season was crazy. I mean, you know, Sergei Oliva, nice guy, you know, but my man was like, I'm going to be honest with you. A couple years ago, I go in the locker room, I ask the player, yo, man, are you playing today? Dude, you bring so much energy, man. Like, are you playing? Like, you need to play in this game because they're just killing y'all. Y'all don't have nobody that can stop this guy. Are you playing? So, Jim O'Brien, the assistant coach, walked through the locker room. And he said, yo, OB. He did a thumbs up. OB looked down at a sheet and did a thumbs down and kept it moving. I said, and he said, nah, I ain't playing. I said, what? You're joking, right? He said, nah, man, I ain't playing. What you mean you're not playing, dude? They need y'all. This is like an elimination game. This was the playoffs. He said, Keith, look, bro. Sergei does a sheet before the game. And he gives it to Brett Brown, and that determines the rotation and the substitution and all that. I said, huh? I said, nah, dog. They need y'all tonight. They need you tonight. You're playing. He said, bruh, I'm not playing. I never heard anything like that. I mean, really, I never heard anything like that. So there was games where you saw dudes, and we talked about this yesterday. Dudes were just getting busy, getting buckets, doing this, doing that. Bingo, they were out the game. Or there were certain dudes who was just struggling in the slump. But analytically, they were supposed to be good against a particular team. Well, they got burned. And you're like, huh? What? What's going on? Nah, so I'm not surprised that the Sixers made these moves. Not at all. And see, the thing is, you know, last night, or Thursday, Dave Joerger, it was announced that he was going to become on the staff, right? So Dave Joerger is going to be the defensive coach, so to speak, if you want to call him that, for the Sixers, right? Now, we talk about the Sixers. Now, they got to get some more coaches there. You know, as I said, Brendan O'Connor is expected to come. Sam Cassell is expected to come. You know, but you never know what's going to happen, right? So these are guys who are expected to come. But I think that Doc is going to get a staff, right? He's going to get, it's probably going to be different, of course, of than like the guys he had, the Clippers, some of them, but not all. But then you look at it, and right now you're saying to yourself, like, whoa. You know, when Dinwiddie gets here, Prosper gets here, they're going to have a lot of work to do because they got to get ready for this draft. I mean, again, like, what are the Sixers going to do? Are they going to keep the 21st pick? Are they going to try to trade up? And like, let's face it, their history, they based everything on analytics to the point where they were drafting analytic guys, guys who fit in perfectly analytically, guys who they felt like had huge upsides over proven products. So now it's to a point where you're going to say, can you go out there and bring in the right player? Now, again, I'm not saying this to say that the people in the scouting department didn't know what they were doing. The Sixers have some good scouts, great scouts. I mean, some of these guys have been here for a while, and they have been making great decisions, right? But when your front office is saying we got to do stuff analytically, that's where the problem comes in that, right? Come on now. Now, again, I'm not talking bad about analytics, but what I'm trying to say is that you need basketball people to go with the analytic people. You know, you can't base everything off of analytics. You got to have a feel. So that's what has to happen now. Right now, for this draft and for free agency and all this other stuff, they got to have a feel. And let's face it, it's going to be tough with them in free agency because the money's not there. So these are the things that the 76ers have to do. And we'll see how it all works out. Like, we really will. We'll see how everything works out. Hey, I want to thank y'all for listening to the first two segments of this podcast. Like I said before, this is the only podcast that comes to you 5 days a week that cover the 76ers. I also want you guys to know that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast at. You know, also make sure you follow me in the Philadelphia Inquirer on Inquirer.com. You can also read my stuff in the Philadelphia Daily News. And it'll be great to keep up with me because I break a lot. Not break, but a lot. Yeah, I break some things. But a lot of my stuff, the breaking news, and I tweet out my stories and everything like that on Twitter. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers, right? Now, this third segment right here, you know, we just want to talk about some of the tidbits and some of the things that's happening, you know, around the league, you know, and you know, my perceptions. You know, as I said yesterday, I want the Sixers to go after Rajon Rondo. I do. I think that he's the leader that they need, right? I do think that he'll get a bump in pay. Now, I spoke to certain people and they don't think he will. And as you know, some of you, Rajon Rondo was the backup point guard for the Lakers. Actually, the only point guard for the Lakers. And because like LeBron James played a point forward position. And then they had two like shooting guards with them, two wings. So Rondo would come in and would be the point guard, but he came off the bench. And I'm under the belief that the reason why he did what he did, or the reason why he opted out, is because, you know, what he wants, you know, what he wants is he wants to make more money. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's the gist. That's the deal. Like, he wants to make more money. But I ain't mad at him. But I think the Lakers are going to go back this year, right? I do. I think it's going to be the Lakers. I think it's going to be the Boston Celtics. I'm sorry. I think Boston is going to take that next step. The Sixers, I'm telling you, they got some work to do. I mean, I know they're getting new people in here. They're doing all that other stuff. But they have some work to do, right? But look, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank y'all for dealing with me with this, I guess, short but long-winded podcast. And as I said, I want y'all to do what you gotta do. But make sure you follow me on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. And make sure you have a great weekend. Peace.